Before coming to church, he suffered a type 2 heart attack. Found out that his kidneys had blood clots. And I would say that's a plan that was a bit interrupted. And I love Steve's Facebook post a few days later. I mean, there are a lot of things he posted, the way he looked and all that, and jokes. You got to know Steve. But I love what he said. He said, "Deb and I want to thank all of you for your love, prayers, encouragement, visits, and of course, the jokes. We feel incredibly loved and taken care of. A special thanks to all the staff here at Tallahassee Memorial Hospital. You guys have been better than awesome. And above all, thank you, God, for being in total control." Boy, this is awesome. Boy, have I got new content for my story. What? You have new content, Steve? A type 2 heart attack? Because I believe Steve is looking at his life as a story, as a journey. It's amazing, his attitude. Today I want to talk about being a lifetime learner, a lifelong learner. You know, it takes investment to be a lifelong learner. It takes focus, it takes humility to be a lifelong learner. I believe the moment you stop learning is the moment you stop growing in life. It's safe to say that when a person becomes a Christian, when a person gives their life to following Jesus, they're committed to a life of learning. You're saying, "Jesus is Lord, and I'm learning how to follow you for the rest of my life. Through the valleys, through the good times, for my life." And this question tonight, this morning, I want to ask you a question, three of them. What are you learning? What are you learning about and from other people? What are you learning, secondly, about and from God? And thirdly, what are you learning about yourself? Are you a lifelong learner? You know, we come to worship, fellowship, we come to remember, but we also come to learn. And I pray that every time we come through these doors, whether it be on a Sunday morning, a Wednesday night, a Friday night, that we are coming to learn, having that attitude of a student. You know, we have midweek classes. We have four of them. And we began at the beginning of the year. We'll go for the entire year. And we have four classes. And they're really set up so that we can learn how to follow Jesus and learn a lot about life. And we have a class called Religion to Relationship. Why? Because we can be religious. And we can remain in our routine and miss the relationship. I think about Jesus when he says in Matthew 7, "Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' And I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. I didn't know you. I didn't recognize you. I didn't come to know you through personal experience. You were too busy with your routine that you missed the relationship.' I don't want that to be said about me, that I was so busy that I missed my relationship with God." And so we have a class entitled Religion to Relationship, because we can get trapped in being hypocrites at times, or Pharisees. Second class, Communicate to Connect. Communicate to Connect. James says in James 3, no human can tame the what? The tongue. We mess up all the time in how we say things and what we say. And so God knows we need help with our tongue. And so God offers us help through his word, through his spirit, and through just training on how to communicate. Without communication, there'll be very little connection. And we want to connect with our spouses, with our children, with our peers, with our co-workers. Disciples connect. Thirdly, we have a class called Godly Finances. Why would we have a class on money? Why do you think? Yes. Okay. All right. What else? Why do we have a class about money? Yeah. You're looking at my notes. I mean, think about that. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, right? Money can be a distraction. We need to learn how to think about money all the time, yeah. To be a great steward of our money. To realize it's not ours anyway. It's God's. Yeah, John. About where your heart is. Boy, I tell you, it's amazing. You know, when the bank account is low, sometimes we get low. The bank account is increasing. Boy, it's amazing how joyful we get, you know. But you know, I read a scripture that Solomon shared, and he said, wisdom is a shelter as money is a shelter. But the advantage of knowledge is this: wisdom preserves those who have it. And so this shelter that we think money provides doesn't really do it. The wisdom is the shelter. That's the treasure. But we need to learn how to do that because we're tempted in so many ways and we go up and down. So we have a class on that. The fourth class we have is entitled Gatekeepers to Ambassadors. And it reminds me of the scripture in 2 Corinthians 5, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. This class is to help us to spread the gospel. God is making his appeal through us to connect and reconcile other people to God. That's why we come. So we're learning how to do that. From this class, I want to introduce to you two of our sisters that will be sharing this morning, Judy Stone and Sandy Thompson. Come on up. They have bravely come up here, and we're very thankful. In our class, we talk about our life as a story. And we need to have these faith journeys. And sometimes we don't realize what God has done all of our lives to get us to where we are. Sometimes we miss God working in our lives, working in each other's lives, working on our hearts. And they're going to share with you their journey, their life journey, and their faith journey. And I think you'll really be encouraged. So I got a question for you, okay? What did you learn about each other through this faith journey that you shared? I don't care who goes first.
Well, I'll go first. Maybe if I can calm my nerves down. Can you all hear? get it closer. All right. Well, Sandy shared her life journey with me, and so this is what I learned about her. I think God guided her into the science field because she had a quest for the truth, and it really came through when she was sharing with me. As a little girl, a very little girl, she joined a good news club, and she prayed Jesus into her heart, but that really didn't satisfy her and answer all of her questions. Later, she went to a Catholic school. And even because she had a goal to go to college, she worked.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on. Just make me sure. they can't hear you.
She paid her own way because her parents got to the point where they couldn't really afford high school. And she noticed in ninth grade that they studied the Old Testament somewhat, the way Catholics do. But she thought in 10th grade they would study the New Testament. But they never dealt with the New Testament at all. And that brought more questions to her mind. And so she sort of started a search for the truth and examined different religions, even Eastern religions she looked at, but she still wasn't satisfied. And then amazingly enough, in 2001, she was diagnosed with cancer. And at that point, she began to feel, for the first time, God's real love. And she felt like he was telling her that she needed to find a church, but that she was going to be okay. And so she went on the internet, and at that point in 2001, there was very little information on churches, but she felt like God was going to have someone in the community that was going to invite her to a church, and she didn't know who that would be. So in June of that year, she attended out at the Mag Lab at FSU a science workshop on computers, and she didn't know what she was going to learn, but it was amazing what God was going to teach her. The first day, I think, she was getting ready to go to her car to have her lunch, and she's kind of like me. She didn't need people all the time. And so Jane McDonald was in that class, and Jane invited her to have lunch. And Sandy said she almost said, no, I'm going to go do my own thing. But something made her go with Jane. And so all through that week, she and Jane and a little group of people had lunch together. And at the very on the very last day, Jane said, do you have a church? Would you like to visit with church with me? And Sandy, again, almost said no, and then she thought, I've been praying that God was going to have somebody invite me to church. Mm. And so she realized that it really was God answering her prayer. And so she came with her daughter the first time, and she, for the first time, people wanted to talk to her, and they acted like they cared about her. And the sermons were applicable to her life. And she'd never seen that before. So she started studying the Bible, and in July she was baptized, and she realized finally that she had found the truth, that she found that the Bible was the standard, and that her search was over. Mm. And so these were some things that I learned about her journey.
Mm. Now, how long have you known Sandy?
I've known Sandy for a long time, but we've never really shared before. And it was such a faith-building journey to hear her story and to see how God answered specific prayers. I mean, it really built my faith incredibly, just doing this little homework assignment, really, that AB gave us.
So this was homework. They're good students, right? This is the homework that they did, right? And you heard it. She had known her for years, but never got that deep and never understood her story prior to coming here. And so it was a great connection. Okay, what'd you learn about Miss Judy?
Is this working?
Can you hear? Okay, go ahead and give her that, yeah.
Okay, well, one thing that I noticed when we first started, because when we talked together, Judy went first, some similarities in our life that we both had mothers who were Catholic and fathers who were not religious, and that... but by the time we started questioning and things, by the time we went to college, we had left the Catholic Church and were, searching elsewhere or not searching, whatever the case may be. I was just sort of on my own for a while. And then also another similarity was we were both baptized when we were a lot older. We were in our 40s. I guess you were in your 40s. And anyway, we were a lot older, 50s. So, it's just encouraging when you see, first of all, see somebody else that's sort of on a similar path. There were differences. And also makes you realize there are other people out there, that are just like you are looking around and wondering, where to go. So Judy started questioning, I guess when she was 13, her father, who was an atheist, asked her if she had read the Bible and believed the Bible, and she realized she hadn't really looked at the Bible, and she found a Bible and started reading in Genesis, and she didn't get it at all. It was like, is this what Christianity is? I don't understand this. So that's where the little doubts started, and by the time she got to college, like I said, she realized she was just going to church because her mother expected it. She wasn't there. She had no real faith of her own. And of course, that happens a lot. Let's see. I guess, so anyway, Judy got married, had a couple kids, got divorced, and she was, that's having that difficult life of being a single mom. And in the meantime, she had been looking for God. You know, she had gone to different churches. I mean, that was something that really stood out to me, was she was telling me about all these different churches, and she could see, you know, she was not getting the truth of God, that people in the church weren't really living a Christian life. You know, now nobody's perfect, and we're sure not all perfect here. But, you know, the thing that really inspires me here is that, you know, I feel like, and I've seen it, I've seen the whole church change, you know, when they found they weren't following the Bible. So there's a real sincere belief here. Anyway, the thing that most stood out to me, though, in Judy's life was she woke up one morning and God had put a verse on her heart and her mind, and she didn't know what it was. She just knew it was Matthew 11:28. And all morning she said, she kept thinking, I got to find a Bible and look up this verse. I don't know what it is, but here it is. God gave it to me. It must be important, right? So she finally looked it up, and it was Jesus speaking, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And she said that was just the verse that she needed. Single mom having a difficult life. That was sort of her turning point, like, you know, feeling God during my cancer was my turning point. So she kept looking, kept going to churches. And she was getting, so another turning point, of course, was she was getting really weary of the dating life in the world. And she worked with Sue Ann Miller. And Sue Ann was telling her about pure dating. And Sue Ann invited her to a women's day. And the rest is history. Here she is. Wow. Here she is. She found what she was looking for. But the thing that most really inspires me about Judy is she just kept looking, you know. She kept looking, going. She tried. She told me about some of the churches she went to. And, you know, it was, but she didn't give up. Because she knew she wanted God. And one of the last things she said to me when we were, you know, having our little discussion was she couldn't imagine living her life without God. You know, and I was like, amen.
Amen. Well, awesome. So obviously, you know, you guys went into deep waters about your past. You saw God move and in each other's lives. What did you learn about God from that? I mean, just from hearing how God moved in each other's lives. What did you learn about God?
Hard in a mic when your hands are shaking. Well, I think what I learned several things. That he has been on a spiritual journey with me from the beginning. And it really helped me to see that we don't ever walk alone. And that he reaches out to us even when we're not reaching out to him a lot of the time. That he's faithful, that he answers specific prayers, was so clear in Sandy's and my life how he really does do that. That he loves us more than we can ever imagine. That we continue on this journey all the days of our lives, and I think I've really learned that in this class, that when we were singing on Heaven's Road this morning, I thought, you know, we're all on Heaven's Road. Mm-hmm. We're going down that journey, and God's right there with us. And I was grateful that Dan sang that song, and it reminded me of that. It helps me to know that that I have a hope in a future, even at my age, that, you know, that my story wasn't over when I got baptized, that I'm continuing to learn and learn more about God and learn more about myself through my walk. And I'm just super grateful for it.
Awesome. Well, thank you.
Okay, I wrote down a scripture, and it just happened to be one AB used this morning, too. I guess it's pretty applicable. Jeremiah 29:13, which is my favorite part of that old scripture. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Because if we're not seeking him first, he can't give us a hope and a future. So, you know, we've got to seek. Seek first his kingdom, and then he can give us everything else. So what I learned about God, same thing that Judy just said. He encourages us. He's with us. He has it all planned out for us, you know, but we need to be listening and we need to be following. He will direct our path to him. He wants us to find him. And another thing is I was just going over, I mean, Judy and I just went pretty much up to where we came to the church and got baptized, but I, you know, reviewing my own life and looking at some of the things that God has done in my life, I see that he's done so much more. You know, when I go to him, it's just incredible. I remember one time I had a situation at work that I felt like, well, what I prayed that night was, God, I know there's nothing I can do about this situation, so I want you to just help me learn how to live with it. Mm. And 2 days later, he had the whole thing fixed. I thought it was impossible, but the thing I forgot was, with God, nothing is impossible, and he showed me, I can do something. You might not be able to do it, but I can, and I'm still scratching my head trying to figure out exactly how he did that. But
was the person fired?
No. No, I didn't want them to be fired. I just, well, there were two of them. That was... if we you know, take it to God, God will take care of it one way or the other, or he'll help you live with it one way or the other.
Anyway. Amen. Well, you know, I think that's the power of deep fellowship. You not only learn about the other person, but in that time of fellowship, you learn about God in ways that you never would discover him other than that time. What did you guys learn about yourself?
Well, I learned that sometimes I'm lazy in seeking God, but that he's still working in my life. That I've had a spiritual journey that may help someone else to come to faith, because it was such a faith-building thing for me, and I think it gave me a new urgency to share my story because I realized in listening to Sandy's that it really is a tremendous faith-building experience. And let's see what else. And that my journey will continue into the future, and it gives me a lot of confidence. And I really invite you all to do this with each other, because... I haven't had an experience like this in the church ever, and it really, truly shows God's power, I think, in a whole new way, and I think it will bring all of us closer together if we take time to do it. So it was an awesome homework assignment. I don't like homework but this was worth every minute that we spent with it, and Sandy was so willing to get together and go over it two different times so that we could present it to you all. So thank you for giving us this time.
Well, one thing I learned was I need to be more grateful for everything that God has done. You know, I look back on it and I just think, you know, I just need to be grateful every night. And it's good to think about, you know, the things, sit down and reflect on what God has done. And really, I wish I would sit down every night and reflect on what was God doing today. You know, that's how we learn. We learn by reflecting on, we don't really experience God if we're not reflecting on what he's actually doing for us. And like Judy, I need to be more faithful about, you know, seeing, you know, here we were looking, and there are other people out there looking too. One thing I want to do is make sure my journey, you know, my journey with God needs to be every minute of my life. And, you know, I guess, you know, other things come up and distract you, but just realizing that God's in control and he's in control. You don't have to worry. And I have to say, you know, God is still acting even today. I was just amazed. I met a visitor to our church for the first time this morning, and we talked about some of the very same things that I was planning, you know, that we were planning on talking about this morning. And so he's working in our lives even, you know, before you know it, before you know he's even there, he's working in your life. So I'm grateful for that.
Amen. I want to thank you both for sharing, and I know it's kind of intimidating with all these people, but you guys, you stepped in God's living room, and you shared your heart, and I'm really thankful. Really thankful for what you shared. Give it up for our sisters. Mm. You guys are awesome. You're awesome. With the mic and all. Thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity.
You're welcome. Takes a lot of courage to do that, to share, and even it takes courage to do the homework, to be able to just open your life and dig that deep. And that definitely wasn't a how about them Knowles conversation. It was a little deeper than that. And it does take courage to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus, but it takes courage to also be a lifelong learner. And I want to share something about learning from others. It takes a lot of courage. The seaways to the new world destroyed many who had hoped to conquer them. Those who returned had learned the secrets of the routes and recorded them in a small book, The Rudder. Rudders were the key to the secrets of the world's seaways and the best hope for a captain who wished to return home alive. A rudder was basically a book in which the ship's pilot recorded every detail of the voyage so that the steps could be retraced safely. It related exactly how he got to his objective and how he returned home. The rudder was priceless because it contained the detailed navigational records of some who had been there and lived to tell others what he found and how he got there. The rudder related how the pilot had steered for many days on such and such a bearing and what he had encountered along the way. The location of the dangerous shoals, the bearings of the landmarks such as headwinds and the depths of channels, the location of safe harbors, all were meticulously recorded. Anyone getting hold of these rudders would be able to retrace the steps of those who had been there before and had gained access to the riches that lay ahead. Wisdom suggests that we do well to learn from those who have come before us. But we need a rudder. And this is from an excerpt from Randy Reese and Robert Lone, Deep Mentoring Book. Rudders are the life stories that have come before us, that we can learn from as we navigate our own way. And it's very important, you know, we have rudders all around us that sometimes we forget. We have rudders from the past. In 1 Corinthians, turn there with me, 1 Corinthians 10. What a blessing to have rudders from the past to help us. And this is the Paul talking, warning the Corinthians about the lifestyle and God's people from the past. He says, "For I do not want you to become ignorant, to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were under the cloud and that they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now, these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Do not be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and got up and indulged in revelry. We should not commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 of them died. We should not test Christ as some of them did and were killed by snakes. And do not grumble as some of them did and were killed by the destroying angel. These things happen to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the accumulation of the ages has come. So if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. I believe stories from the past help us to get out of our trials and temptations and struggles. They're there for us to glean on the wisdom of the past. What a blessing. We have rudders from the past. We also have rudders from those who lead the way. Those who lead the way. Hebrews chapter 13. Those who lead the way. Hebrews 13, verse 7. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Now, a leader is someone really who you esteem or you respect. This past week, I saw a leader in Steve Bowen. I'm not talking about a leader that's on staff, or I'm talking about someone who is leading the way. I respect the way he dealt with a type 2 heart attack. I learned from that. What faith? For him to go, you know what? I got more content in my story. I can learn from that. One day I may be in the same hospital bed. Am I going to learn from it? You know, learning, being a lifelong learner, you got to have courage. You know, we can learn from the rudders of our peers. You have people that have been in the past that have given you examples. We have people that we esteem and we go, wow, thank you so much. You're leading the way. We also have rudders that are, I'm going through the same thing you're going through. Amen. We are in the same boat. Yeah. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. In verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet did not sin. Your number one peer is Jesus. Your number one peer as a learner, your greatest rudder is Jesus. He's gone through the exact same things you've gone through, and yet was without sin. Do you realize you have a peer in Jesus? You also have a peer in the body of Christ, the church. We have a body that can empathize with you. We have parts in the body that know exactly what you're going through. And unless we get deep in our relationships and have more than casual talks, you may never understand that. You may never discover your peer. If you don't take the time to get somebody's history and go through that faith journey. We have those in the body that have special needs. We have those in the body that are rich. We have those in the body that are poor. We have those in the body who are uneducated. We have those in the body that are artsy. We have those in the body that are engineers. We have those in the body that are older. We have those that are younger. We have those from third world countries. We have those who are African American, white, former presidents of university, a single mom. We have them. Someone who's lost a spouse, they're in the body. Someone who's lost a child, they're in the body. Someone who's a former governor's son, they're in the body. Someone who has been adopted, they're in the body. Someone who suffered from abuse. Someone who suffered from addiction, had a stroke, had a type 2 heart attack. Someone who used to be racist. Someone who suffered from racism. Someone who has a pacemaker. Someone who couldn't have children of their own. People who have filed for bankruptcy. People have spent time in prison. Who am I talking about? The body of Christ. We're not talking about some elite group. We're talking about a messy group. We're talking about an imperfect group. We're talking about a group has been through life and they have a journey and a story to tell. This is our church. This is the body of Christ. And you can come in and be shallow if you want and remain shallow, or you can get your scuba gear on and get deep and learn from the rudders in this room. It takes courage to learn from others. Just like they shared, having those talks. But it takes courage to learn from God. To learn from God. And we know this. It's a no-brainer. We know this. But he really does go out of his way to teach us. He gives us commands and laws and his will and his ways. He gives us Jesus. He wants to teach. He pours his life out, his heart out, for us to learn how to live life. So we learn from God. It takes courage. It takes courage to follow God and learn from him without editing, but allowing him to do his work. It takes courage to admit, I don't know what I'm doing. I need God. I keep on running into a wall. I keep on running into a wall. I keep on running into a wall. I need guidance. I need God. And when you run into that wall, you need to know that that's not the end of your chapter or your story. But many of us, we stop growing and we get bitter. And so all we can see is that wall. And we can see it for years and years and years. And we get stuck. It takes courage to learn about yourself in those times. We talked about it before, but woe is me. Woe is me. How I deal with life, that's me. And so how I go through this life and my attitude toward life, it's up to me. I can't blame others for the rest of my life. I got to journey through this life knowing that God has plans to prosper me, plans to give me a hope in the future, though it may not be the plan that I drew up. And I'm like, God, can we change? Stop, cut. You're the director. Can we change this scene? And God goes, no, I want you to go through this scene because this scene will take you to me. You see, it takes courage to learn about yourself, the good, the bad, and the ugly, to be able to learn about yourself. Didn't James say, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. That's James 1, 23 and 24. I think James is saying that if we don't want to take it deeper, we won't. If we don't want to take it deeper, we won't. We can come week in, week out, Wednesday in, Wednesday out, and not learn about ourselves or not take responsibility for who we are. You know, I want to give us homework this week. And you can kind of guess what homework I want to give you. These two sisters led the way. And we've had, JP, how many classes have we had? Four? This is our fourth one? Third class, because we're doing it for the whole year. And out of our three classes, you know, not a lot of people do the homework. And I wondered why. Do we forget? Yes, some of it. but also sometimes we're afraid to take the time to really learn and get deep in each other's lives. So I want to ask you to do this. This week, have a journey talk with somebody in this room. Have a faith talk. Meet at Panera's, Starbucks. Grab a coffee. And I want you to just come away with that journey and ask yourself, what did you learn about that brother or the sister? as you journey about how has God worked in your life, where are you in the story? You know, when we're 80 years old and we're writing out, we've just finished our autobiography. Imagine that, being 80 years old and you just finished your autobiography. And then someone asks you to turn to page 321. What would it say? Do you see yourself in your story? Do you see yourself? Talk about your story with someone this week. Ask yourself, what did you learn about them? What did you learn about God? And what did you learn about yourself? If we could have this going on throughout our fellowship, every Sunday, every Wednesday, imagine the growth. Imagine what we would see and learn about each other. Imagine the barriers that could be just torn down. And we do have barriers in this church. We have cliques in this church. We have cliques. Some of you have been around for a long time and you stay in your group. You stay in your lane. Please don't get with anybody in your lane. Change lanes. But now here, they've known each other for a long time and they didn't even really know their story. Take the time to cross lanes. Get with somebody you'd never done this before with. And get to know the body of Christ. And I'd love to hear what you've learned about God and how he moves. Every one of us, we have a story to tell. And when we tell that story, we see God at work. And then we can see us in that story. We're not perfect. We're far from it. We got to get back up when we fall. And God has an amazing grace. And God wants us as the body of Christ to tell the gospel story. How do you tell the story? Well, you sit down with them and tell them what they need to repent of. No. No. What you do is you share your journey. Here's how I grew up. Here are my experiences. Here's where I first heard God. I first saw evidences of him in my life. I began to have that faith walk. Here's where I fell and rebelled and just cursed everybody out and didn't want anything to do with life. And then this happened and then I got sick. What's your story? You see, I know Judy Stone. She's going to have more in her story a year from now. I got to learn that. We got to learn that together. I pray that you all class will do the homework. Find somebody before you leave. Set up with them and go over your life journey. This is what it means to be a lifelong learner. It does take courage, and I pray that you'll have the courage to do it. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the way that you look at all of our lives, and you never leave us. You never forsake us. Father, help us to resurrect from bitterness or doubt when we have hard times come. Father, help us to know that you're still planning, you're still working, you're still co-authoring our lives. And Father, you want us at the end of our life to be more and more like Jesus. Father, you want us to be shaped by life, not hardened by it. You want us to be inspired by you. You want us to be inspired by our brothers and sisters. You want the body of Christ to shine throughout this city. And Father, I pray that we will be deep enough and have the courage to go on this faith journey together. We love you. We thank you for today. And we thank you for healing our brother Steve Bowen. We pray that you would guide him as he's home now recuperating. Father, help him to continue to have the courage to add content to his story. We love you. We thank you for this time. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed. Have a